Welcome to the Marshall Pruitt Podcast, presented by Cooper Tires. My guest this episode is my friend James Sully Sullivan, co-owner of the new AIM Vassar Sullivan IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship GT Daytona team. Sully, as he likes to be called, Jimmy Vassar, old, super old friend as well, and the awesome Canadian outfit AIM Autosport have come together, have taken over the relationship with Lexus, just fielding the RCF GT3 in GTD. They are coming in and taking over and hoping to do big things as this program moves on to its second service provider. This is a Pro-Am team, no longer the full factory effort that it was when it first came into IMSA. And as we speak with Sully here, his true impressive background comes from finding sponsors, finding just the right people to come together and do really impressive things. When I first met him years ago, when he was coming into IndyCar, he's a guy that had a lot of relationships, had a lot of business contacts, tending to lean towards younger and or more energetic businesses that just really made a pop. Especially in open wheel racing, his Global Rallycross team was also successful, and they were involved with the Dale Coyne team last year in IndyCar. So really excited to get some time with Sully, find about what he and Jimmy are doing, what the AIM team are doing, and also some of their development ideas, building their own shop, getting outgoing testing, where the cars come from, you name it. So good general catch up with him, and I'm sure we will be doing more as this team gets closer to hitting the track here in the off-season. You know, you can get every episode of the Marshall Pruitt Podcast on iTunes, on Podbean, on Google Play, on all kinds of good places, and also on our Marshall Pruitt Podcast Facebook page. All right, with all that said, let's get going with James Sully Sullivan, the Marshall Pruitt Podcast, presented by Cooper Tires. Mr. Sullivan, so happy to know that we will be welcoming you and our man Jimmy Vassar and the AIM Autosport team into the IMSA paddock with a new to you at least, Lexus program next year in GT Daytona. Let's just start with the ambitions, because I know this is something you and Jimmy back in the KVSH IndyCar days were hoping to get in on, but glad to see you guys didn't give up.
No, we certainly didn't. Well, first, thanks for having me, and yeah, the news is out. It couldn't be better news for Jimmy and I and the AIM guys. And now what's newly created is AIM Vassar Sullivan. So it's exciting time, ton of work to do. Very tall work order, as you can imagine. But no, we didn't give up, and now we've arrived. So we have, Jimmy and I at least, have had our eye on that series since the KVSH days. And it's always really been a priority for us to be what we would call multiple spokes, with IndyCar being one of those spokes, and being able to add a second spoke in a roundabout way. We did that with Red Bull GRC and Rallycross, but the IMSA for us has been something that's been on the horizon that we've never taken our eye off of. I think it's a big complementer to any organization that has an IndyCar program, just because it's very different. You know, they say racing is racing, but you and I both know that that's not true on a lot of different channels and categories and circumstances. And I look at IMSA in that way. I think what they've got going on over there, and what they continue to have going on over there with regards to manufacturer relevancy, the fan format, the accessibility, it's been really, really intriguing to Vassar and I, and what we know is our ability to bring commercial programs to the table, but also create successful organizations. So we thought for many years now that would be a home for us, and it was just a matter of when, not if. And glad to announce that we've finally arrived at that point and have Lexus as a partner. So, all good.
So this is not something that's unfamiliar to Jimmy, knowing that he's had success in the past, I mean, decades ago, in the old IMSA GTP and Camel Lights days. Then obviously he still maintained a presence a little bit, maybe on an annual basis, at the Rolex 24. with our friend Bob Stallings and his Gainsco team would, you know, drop in there every now and then, but hasn't really been, you know, it's been more of a side fun thing for Jimmy compared to an active daily passion. Tell us a little bit about the, I guess, the personal passions to move into sports car racing, and also a little bit of the business decision, because I know you don't get into anything just for pure fun. It also has to make business sense as well.
Yeah, it does, and make no bones about it. I mean, this is still a customer program, you know, with Lexus. Lexus is very much a partner, as is TRD in the program, but the onus is on us to, to one, organize this properly, and then two, go and compete, not to participate. And obviously, to do those things, it takes cubic dollars. So to answer your previous question, you know, with Jimmy, I think the greater passion is there to go and do this. But it's in a situation where we feel as though we can go and we can win, and that we've got the people and the resources now lined up to go and do that. And that didn't happen overnight. That was something that was slowly and methodically assembled, but with the absence of, let's call it a manufacturer partner. And when the Lexus option made itself available, it was quite obvious to us the best way to move forward would be now, and to do it now. But I'll tell you, from a series perspective, what has tugged at me and Jimmy's a car dealer, specifically he's a Toyota dealer, so we're very much in tune with, let's call it, the auto enthusiast, not necessarily the race enthusiast, but the auto enthusiast. And you read these articles and you hear people talk about, you know, are people's love for cars, is it dwindling, or is it gone, or is it come and gone and it's no more? And the first thing, Marshall, that grabbed me in attending an IMSA event years back was that this really is a place where auto enthusiasts can go and be fans of cars.
Yeah, yeah.
Specifically in the championship that we're running, the GTD championship, and it's obviously very easy to tie the relevancy of the series back to Lexus and why is it that they participate. But when you look at it from a fan perspective, many, and I'm one of them, auto enthusiasts, they fall in love with cars before they ever even drive them. Or sometimes they never even drive them, but they're still in love with this car for whatever reason. So there's so much more to this than what happens on the track. And that's what dawned on me when I attended IMSA for the first time, specifically Sebring. And when you see off the track the amount of people that are gathering around these vehicles and admiring them, and some of them own Lexus, some of them might now buy a Lexus because they're walking away, you know, feeling emotional about what they saw. And in the other forms of racing that we do and that we have done, that's the one thing that I think is different. And that's ultimately, I think, what kept Jimmy and I charged up about this, that we're all kind of headed into a who knows what the future of motorsports is going to look like, with regards to drivetrains and powertrains and what have you. But to me, one thing's got to hold true, and that's that the auto enthusiasts have to remain. If the people aren't passionate to some level about cars, then the sport as a whole will dwindle. And when I see IMSA GTD, I feel like it's in that spot. It's the best thing I think they got going for them, if that makes sense. And that's why we're in it and want to pursue it, that I think it's got a really long, healthy life ahead of it.
So this might sound like a softball. It generally isn't meant to be one. Looking at some of the names, let me rephrase when I say looking at. Knowing some of the names that were asked to submit proposals to continue and to take part in this program with Lexus, and again, as a customer team, this is not a fully subsidized factory team, but to be a partner, had heard you guys were definitely in the mix all along, just like you were a couple years ago when this originally came to happen. Also knew of some much, much bigger and fully established teams that were asked to participate. Were you surprised at all that a team that did not have its own shop, did not, you know, didn't have its own name over the door yet, was selected? And B, how much a part do you think of that decision was made by having our good friends at AIM Autosport associated with this program?
No, I wasn't. If I'm being candidly, I wasn't surprised. When you step back and we looked at what we had created, let's call it on paper, it really was such a strong case to go and to have success. And from just Jimmy and I's perspective, which are the conversations with Lexus and TRD and what have you, started independently with Jimmy and I. We had our own discussions with them prior to forming what is now AIM Vassar Sullivan. Many discussions, in fact. I think it was built on trust.
Mm.
Because, or at least that's what that we've been told. If you look back on the programs that Jimmy and I have either assembled, been a part of, or helped elevate, we've never said we're going to do something and not delivered. I don't feel like that we've ever been in a position where we've overpromised. We've grown, for the most part, every year in our stature and what we've been able to produce on the track and off the track. And we were told, at least, that I think those were the reasons that we were selected. Now, with that being said, Jimmy and Sully, how is it that you would do this? And for us, you know, our first discussion with the AIM guides was back in SEMA 16.
Wow.
So, you know, at least with Andrew. So for us, it was two things, if I must say. You know, one, and this is what led us to not create a joint venture, but really to create a whole new entity in AIM Vassar Sullivan. You know, it's built from scratch, from the ground up, as one new company, Texas Corp, to be close to Toyota Corporate. For Jimmy and I, it was really two things. Number one was the people. And by the people, I don't mean our ability to be able to go and staff it. I mean, there's a few people there at what was AIM Autosport that we consider extremely talented. Ian Willis, Keith Willis,
oh, yeah.
Andrew. That those are the types of guys that, quite frankly, we were interested to go and hire aside from or maybe in lieu of a partnership with AIM. And the more that you begin to have these discussions about where they're at in their life cycle as an organization and where we are at in our life cycle as Vassar Sullivan, it quickly began to make sense to put this together. In a sense, if I'm being honest with you, it was very similar to when we all got in a room and created KVSH. You looked at what the positives of some of the strengths of the individual owners and partners were and what the weaknesses were, and when you put it together, it made a whole lot of sense, and the chemistry was there. And this was very much the same. There's people over there that are going to be huge assets to AIM Vassar Sullivan. And then that's one. And the second piece, Marshall, is and this pertains to Jimmy and I, is the learning curve. To me, there's really no nobility in education. Oh, yeah, well, you know what? We did that, and we learned something. That is not what we need to be saying in 12 months. Yeah, we had a great year. We learned a lot. So for us, it was, how do you cut the learning curve right away and take the straightest path to success in delivering a result to Lexus, which is what they expect. And that really lent itself to bringing those guys in as partners and creating AIM Vassar Sullivan, and now, you know, creating a new race shop in Charlotte. AIM has got their shop in Ontario that they've had for years, and this will be a new shop now that we put on the ground to have a close vicinity to TRD in Salisbury. And I think AIM will help Jimmy and I a lot on the endurance side, because that's something that they've got a lot of experience under their belts, these endurance rounds. JV and I can key off of many of the things that we've done over the course of a GRC or an IndyCar championship in a normal non-endurance round of IMSA, but the endurance rounds, the more you get into it, having never done it, that's an animal in its own, and how you approach those and set yourself up for success. So I think those guys right off the bat have proved to be a really big asset and will be a big asset when it comes to trying to go run and win, you know, Daytona and Sebring and Petite.
Before we get to cars and shop and drivers and some of the fun stuff to close on, let's look at legacy a little bit, Sully. Obviously, we've had the 3GT team that sparked this program with Lexus. First year as a full factory, then second year as a pro-am with some paying drivers in it along with some good established pros. Definitely saw more in the way of sponsor logos come onto the car and such. They did a very good job this year. You know, won a couple races, were in a pretty strong position. It's not as if the baton's being handed off. I mean, this is a totally new thing that's going on with you guys. But what do you look at in terms of the legacy that's been established with this RCF GT3 effort with the previous service provider, and what you want to establish as not only the new service provider, but also trying to make a name and a reputation in an area that, you know, a lot of folks won't know who you are when you walk through the paddock, because it's a new domain for you. They might know Vassar because he's a crazy bastard, but, you know, by and large, this is going to have to be a continuation of a program, but one where I'm assuming you're looking at this as not a continuation, but an actual brand new start with someone, you know, a totally new organization.
Yeah, well, it certainly is for us. You know, we didn't have involvement with or really were a party to the previous team that was that was aligned with Lexus, and really haven't had much discussion, you know, about that, what the goods were, what the bads were. So from our perspective, it's as if it hasn't run in years past. And to some extent, I would say we're approaching it that way just because it's all new to us. But then on the flip side, you know, we're doing our best to extract as much empirical wisdom, if you will, from the TRD guides that were involved in seasons past there, that will continue to be involved with our program as we move forward. Steve Hallam, for instance, you know, will continue to manage and oversee the engineering side of the Lexus program and our TRD partnership. And man, I'll tell you, he is one of the greatest human racing resources that I think certainly Jimmy and I have ever had the opportunity to work with. His experience and knowledge is just it's a mass, and we're looking forward to that. But it's extracting what didn't work out of those guys, and for us, certainly looking at it as a new program. As far as expectations, our expectation is to be on the podium as much as possible. To be able to say the expectation is to win X amount of races, I just don't know yet, because we've been there, we've watched it, we've digested it, but I haven't gone and competed. So I don't know really what the line and the difference is between finishing second or third and winning, because there's been many races that Jimmy and I have been a part of where we podiumed, and the difference between a podium in that race, which we were second to third, and winning was a massive difference. And I just don't know yet what is that difference between finishing second, third, and finishing first. It may not be all that much. But for us, the work order in the next 30 days, before we can go and compete, we've got to be functional. So the next 30 days for us is 100% about maintaining functionality of the new organization, staffing the new organization, not even driver's side, finishing the purchasing of all the equipment. So it's starting from stage one with us in our relationship with Lexus and TRD. But I must say that we've known these TRD guys a long time. You know, we've got personal relationships and we've got professional relationships with them. So, and I think that's where the trust comes from. So that helps in a situation like this.
So I don't want to pin you to any hard dates or anything like that, knowing that this is, again, a team, on at least on the Vassar Sullivan side, that's being built up into a new shop to go with the existing package that AIM has in Canada. But what are you looking at in terms of goals for getting out testing, knowing that in theory you're a little over 2 months away from your first big lights, camera, action at the Roar Before the 24 test? And what are you doing for cars and such? Is that something where you are getting new cars, or some of the previous cars are headed your way?
Yeah, we've just taken delivery of of the two previous cars. So there's not going to be any major updates that come to the cars for the 2019 season as far as Evos or anything like that. But for us, it's getting those cars in the shop, which now we have as of last week, getting the people in the shop, getting the paint stripped down, beginning to take inventory, parts inventory, et cetera. All of that's going on as we speak, which will give us the ability in short order to answer your next question, which is when can we go and test? And we're hoping to be able to have to be able to hone in a little bit more on a specific time or period that we can go and do that that's viable once we get a handle on how quick can we get these cars, you know, in a fashion and testing form. So yeah, cars are in the shop and they look good. They look good in bare carbon. Sexy beasts.
Well, I was going to throw that in as a quick sidebar. Knowing some of the liveries we have seen on the Indy cars that have borne sponsors you have found either at KVSH or this past season with Sebastian Bourdais at the Dale Coyne entry, from Gorillas on the car to Dayglow, to you name it. You've never been a part of a boring livery. Any expectations or foreshadowing if that trend might continue? Or is this Mr. Button up to the top collar, hey, we're affiliated with a manufacturer now type stuff?
Well, it's going to be a little more buttoned up. You might see it. You certainly might see a gorilla head on the side of one of them before the season's out. That's not impossible. Maybe even probable. You see it a little more buttoned up. But we're not going to lose who we are. You know, that isn't something that we just did because we liked it. You know, we did it because that's who we are, and we like the race that way. So I think you'll see the look and feel to some extent like that on some of these cars, but. At the same time, you know, we're also racing in partnership with Lexus. So luckily those guys are down the road from my home base, you know, in Dallas, and I'll be heading there this week to go visit with some of the Toyota execs. And I'm sure the more that we spend time with each other, the more that relationship will evolve, and therefore will the livery trust, because I'm sure the first couple that we send over, I'm not sure how they're going to take it, Marshall, to be honest with you. It will certainly be a lot different than what they've seen in years past, and I can't even promise you that they'll be accepted. You know, they may say, you guys got to be out of your damn minds with this, you know, or they may say, I love it. So to answer your question, I don't know, but we're going to try.
I love it.
That's for sure.
I love it.
We're going to try. You may even see a little retro in there. We've got some retro concepts, yeah, that we're looking at that we like. Maybe not for a full season, but for a one-off event here and there. Maybe Daytona might throw a retro livery together. But I think you'll certainly see something that stands out. Let's put it that way.
I don't think the average IMSA fan has any idea what kind of fun is going to be associated with these cars going forward. Well, let's close on one or two quick items, my friends. So,
sure, bud.
Drivers, I would imagine, if you didn't already have a phone filled with driver names in your contact list, I'm guessing that sucker weighs about 25 pounds now with all the folks who want to get in. Can you give us some general insights on rough estimate on how many people have reached out and how you think you, Jimmy, Andrew, you know, everybody at AIM, plus I'm guessing Lexus, might weigh in on what kind of pro drivers, what kind of AM drivers you might consider? And are you looking for folks bringing a budget, or are you trying to fill that side on sponsors you can acquire?
Right. Well, the number is certainly no less than 75.
Wow.
I'm sitting here trying to add it up, and it's that's between Ian, Jimmy, and myself. So we now have a Google Drive doc labeled AVS whiteboard because taking the old Word doc and emailing it back and forth 9 times a day, which is how quick it's changing, is no longer proving effective. So it is proudly being housed in the Google cloud, if you will. And it's I wasn't joking with you when I told you we're going to have to nominate you as our Judicial Driver Review Committee Chairman, because it is absolutely borderline Well, that's exciting, but it is borderline insanity. And you have to whiteboard this stuff out to figure out who fits with who. But in all seriousness, you know, with IMSA's move towards a greater emphasis, let's call it, on the gentleman driver, we will mirror that in our emphasis on how we assemble our lineup. And I'll tell you, that is extremely new for Jimmy and I. You know, on the IndyCar side and the GRC side, we hone in on, we call him our gunslinger. Every year we talk about it. Who's going to be the gunslinger? Who's going to be the guy to get it done? And you worry about your chemistry between your engineers and your crew and your driver and your owners. And now we're approaching this as methodically and strategically, as you will, as we could possibly be, because we need to find harmony. And I think that if we do this properly with the talent that we've got on the ownership side and the reputations I think we have in the paddock, of not necessarily the paddock, but in professional motorsports, I think we are going to be able to create certainly a harmonic lineup, mix of pros and ams, but one that really complements each other and allows us to go and bring some hardware home. I think you'll see at least one driver that has been, one professional driver that has been in the program in years past, you'll see return. That's not completely finalized, but we're close there. And as far as the other pro and the amateurs, that's something that's changing. The options, I would call it, are changing on a daily basis on how we fill those slots. So lots of moving parts, very fluid, but all of us are extremely confident in who has reached out and what the possibilities are. The lineup could be very stellar.
Let's close on this. You also, for fun, because you don't like to live a boring life, you and Jimmy went and ordered a brand new Dallara DW12 Indy car.
We did. Yeah.
And I know there's some sensitivities here, so obviously, you know, I'll take it easy on you. But when do you think we might hear about if or what plans might be in position for, I don't know if it's VS, AVS, I'm not sure what, but obviously you guys don't buy a brand new IndyCar chassis just to stare at it. When do you think we might have some direction on whatever's going to happen there?
You know, in the next 30 days, I think you'll see us be in a position to announce what our future plans are. I can tell you that there is a massive amount of work being done and has been done in the background. Just because we're quiet doesn't mean that we're inactive. We have been, that is an 8 to 10 hour a day project just on that particular piece as it currently sits. So we will be back. And I'd say we're roughly 30 days away from being able to announce our future in the sport.
Busy, but good times ahead, my friend. I'm so happy for you and Jimmy. When I first started hearing that, all right, this was getting really serious and might happen, as you know, many of you guys know. I know you guys couldn't talk about it, but just really happy to see that some good folks who might not be familiar faces in American sports car racing, but good folks you've done strong work elsewhere, going to get to come and lend your names to the IMSA paddock. And I think folks are really going to enjoy not only what you do, but the kind of fun and character and personality that you guys bring, because that's something that maybe the previous service providers were lacking a little bit. So I think folks are going to be pretty stoked about this new AVS Lexus IMSA program.
I appreciate that, brother. We're chomping at the bit to get in there and start competing. But you'll see me rocking the spiky hair, and you'll see JV rocking the black socks and the flat bill cap. So just because we're Lexus and we're sports car, you're not going to see our personas change. We'll still be JV and Sully, no question.
Well, it's also just good knowing that Jimmy is somewhere right now currently with that flat bill pulled down, asleep beneath some grapes, at least beneath some portion of his vineyard right now, with a half empty bottle somewhere soaking up the sun.
He's long hours over there. He's working hard on that piece, but you know, we divide and conquer everywhere we can, so he's fortunately, I can't help him a whole lot with the harvest, so that's something he's got to go off and do on his own. But now things are good on the V12 side.
All right, brother. Well, we'll look forward to seeing you here shortly and seeing more news coming out about drivers and liveries and open wheel stuff, all kinds of fun here in the weeks ahead.
Yeah, you got it. Thanks for having me on, Marshall.
And that was my man, Sully. I really do think the IMSA paddock is going to be a warmer and richer place with AVS AIM Vassar Sullivan in it. And also from a livery standpoint, yeah, they're designers. Throughout the years, I've just come up with a lot of cars that, whether you like it, whether you love it, whether you hate it, really hard to miss them. So it'll be interesting to see how Sully's history and Lexus, TRD, and whatnot, how they come together to put something on track with those two cars that fit both identities. Jimmy and Sully wouldn't be themselves if it was a rather straightforward, boring car. And also, I think our friends at TRD and Lexus will hopefully enjoy the vibe of a little bit more of a youth-minded approach to presenting the vehicles as well. All right, I'm Marshall Pruitt. This is the Marshall Pruitt Podcast presented by Cooper Tires. Thank you for listening.